It's pretty easy. I mean, he's my dad. Very simple decision. Really a no-brainer. I remember when he told me, I was like, pretty much knew. Well, I didn't know, but I knew I was going to get tested. Like, I never even thought twice about it. And I kind of had an inkling that I would be the donor, even then, just because I didn't know who else was gonna get tested. But I mean, it's my dad. And like, you know, I know it has a big effect on my mom and my sister. So. And they've done a lot for me, so I felt this was a pretty easy way to give back in some way. So,
hi, I'm Caitlin Kelleher, the director of multimedia for the Metro West and the Milford Daily News newspapers. You just heard the voice of Jeff Malachowski, one of our multimedia journalists. He spent a number of weeks out earlier this spring on medical leave after he decided to give one of his kidneys to his father, Steve. You'll hear excerpts of an interview that he did with Scott Calzalea, another one of our multimedia journalists, his father, Steve, and his mother, Sydney. They told their story about Alport's syndrome and the process of live kidney donations. We invite you to listen to the excerpts of their interview, the story they share, and go on to our website to read the full story about the Malachowski family, which is battling one of the rare kidney diseases called Alport syndrome. I'm going to turn this back over to Jeff and Scott as you listen to their conversation with the Malachowskis.
I mean, I've had the symptoms since I was a child. The whole family has. Not actually the whole family.
What symptoms of the child?
The males get it, and the females carry it. So we have been testing since maybe 10, 11 years old, when I was 10 or 11 years old. And I had the symptoms. I started to get the hearing loss probably in my late 20s, mid-20s.
Oh, really?
And then it just got progressively worse. You know, and I thought at 66 that I wouldn't need a transplant because I've had the hearing loss and I've got two younger brothers that have had transplants already. One was 30 some odd years ago and one was about 16 years ago. So I thought maybe I was past it. I would only just get the hearing loss. But about a year ago, my nephrologist noticed that I was trending in the wrong direction quicker than he had hoped. And he told me that I should start to get my ducks in a row and, you know, look for a living donor if possible. But I did get on the kidney list.
Sure,
that's 5 to 7 years around here. So I had about 5 or 6 people that were willing to be tested. A couple got eliminated because of melanoma. And then Jeff stepped up and said, you know, I'll go for the testing.
And that kind of cuts in the line, right? In the kidney line, like you have four years away.
If you have a living donor, it's just
better for you too because you know, he's got half my genes, and so you know it's going to work out better. So Jeff probably started testing in October.
Well, mom did too. We all went for the blood matching in October. Myself, my mom, and my brother-in-law, and then go. It said you wanted me to go first because of the genetics, and you know, obviously,
yeah, and it was
pretty close.
And I'm younger. Yeah,
it was a younger kidney too.
Right.
You know, so then I think I reached the point where I needed a kidney early March, and then it was just a matter of picking a date. At that point, Jeff was just about cleared.
When they told you when they told you like you would hit your level, we had already had everything set up.
Right. We didn't have a date.
We didn't have a date yet, yeah.
So at that point,
I was just cleared at that point.
He was cleared, so. And at that point, it was just picking a date, so.
And, I mean, I guess what does it mean that, you know, your own son gave his kidney up for you?
Well, I was proud that he stepped up, and, you know, I was appreciative that he jumped at the opportunity to do it, and, I basically told him he doesn't need to give me a Christmas present or Father's Day gift or a birthday present for the rest of his life.
Get that covered, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's good for you. Yeah. I'll give him my kidney. Yeah.
Save some money.
Yeah, especially. Yeah.
All it took was grabbing one of your
eyes. Yeah, just take it out. Yeah. Here you go. That's it.
And how's everything been going, by the way, since you...
The kidney's been functioning really well from the day they put it, from the time they put it in. My creatinine was 8. My level was 8, which is, at that point, you either need a transplant or you need to go on dialysis. It was 8. The next day, it went to 4, then to 2, then to 1, you know, in like 4 days. So
you were okay.
The kidney's working well. My blood levels are good. You know, I had a couple other complications with low blood pressure and AFib, but, you know.
Generally, the kidney was accepted.
Right. I mean, the kidney's just been working fine.
And going back a little bit, when you said you first started experiencing hearing loss, how much hearing loss did you first see?
It's like a constant ring, and I think I've lost about 60 to 70% in both ears.
Okay, and I see you have something.
I have 2 hearing aids.
Oh, you have 2. I didn't see the second one. All right. Yeah. And they're...
I used to have my hair long so nobody would notice it when I was younger.
Well, your son has no left. Right.
He gave me his hair, too.
Yeah, what the hell?
Just let it go.
Yeah. I don't know why, because I still got mine. But
yeah, right? What happened there?
Yeah, it's the grandfather.
That's where I failed.
Skips a generation.
It's the mother's side. Yeah. It's the mother's side.
Yeah, he even had it, though, for a long time. As soon as I saw it, he started to go. That was it.
My next door neighbor with a big beard, he had an awesome head of hair. He just shaved it because it was gone.
Really?
Yeah. Now he's still got the big beard, but it was gone. Yeah, it does look funny. I was like, I've known you my whole life.
After like 2 or 3 days, I'm like, oh, I gotta shave this. This is for real.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell me about the situation?
It's not a popular disease. There are only about 12,000 people in the country. Yeah. Families that have it.
It is very rare.
And the females carry it and give it to the males. So I can't give it to Jeff, but my daughter, if she has a boy, there's a chance he could have. The disease.
And the female could be a carrier.
What's that?
And then the female could be a carrier, right?
Right.
It's on the X chromosome.
X chromosome, yeah.
So that's why male can't pass to a male.
And I've got 5 sisters. Actually, I got 3 brothers. The oldest one is clean. The other 2 have had transplants. The oldest sister is clean. The other 4 sisters have passed it. Well, 3 of them have passed it on to their children. Yeah. So they're being looked at now and tested.
Oh, I forgot Jean was clear. Then that makes she, sense. She couldn't, she donated.
She couldn't have donated to Stan if she wasn't.
Interesting.
It really, other than the hearing loss, it really hasn't affected my life. You know, you think about it once in a while. It was kind of a shock when he told me that he thought I would need a transplant within a year or a year and a half. Because I was figuring at this point that, like I said before, the hearing loss would be the only thing. Because I had 3 uncles, actually, 3 uncles that died, you know.
That's on my phone. Let me close it.
One died at 27 before they even knew about the disease years ago. And I had another uncle who just had hearing loss. So I kind of equated my 2 brothers to the 2 uncles that didn't get a transplant and then eventually died. And me would be the one like the uncle who just had hearing loss. So it was kind of a shock that at, 65, he told me I would need a transplant within a year. So right now I got 3 kidneys, 2 of them barely work, and 1 of them's working like hell, but he's only got 1. Yeah.
So they didn't remove a kidney, they added 1.
I always thought they would remove it, but they don't. They just kind of, they attach it to the bladder now, so it just, and the other 2 were in the back.
Yeah, whereabouts on your body?
The other 2 were in the back.
Yeah, right.
The old
right.
ones. Where and they just eventually the shrivel up and just...
No, he means the new one now.
The new one is...
No, like, I know. I love the old one.
It's right about here.
Oh, interesting. So they kind of move things around.
Yeah, they kind of just attach it to the wall.
There's like extra space there for them to just throw that in.
I need there was. Right?
Jeez.
Move everything around.
Yeah, I need there was. Really.
Yeah, I don't know what they organized
around. I don't know what they did. Yeah, they just
that is interesting. I didn't know that was part of the procedure. I thought that they got rid of one.
I thought they just got rid of both of them.
Or yeah,
I didn't know how
yeah, and just attach it to the whatever
right
veins or stuff.
Because they kind of hang, they dangle, don't they? In a way?
Yeah, I think they do, but this one's kind of attached, so I don't know. It's tough.
Go medicine.
I lean more this way now because of the extra weight.
Does it hurt? Yeah, right. Does it hurt at all, or do you feel it?
I can feel that it's there, and I think just because it's new. If I bend down, I can feel like it's pushing up.
You know, honestly, I tried not to think too much about it. I just took it a day at a time. If you really think about it too much, it was too overwhelming. So I just tried to take one day at a time, and that surgery day, I was worried. I thought it was going to be really tough and very emotional, but I had a lot of support. My daughter and son-in-law were there, and my sister and her husband also came. And so we kept each other, you know, talking and, you know, just occupied to get through the hours that they were in surgery. And they went in, I guess we got there about like 6:30 in the morning, and they went in around
about
8:30.
Okay.
And then around 11:15 the doctor came in and told us that Jeff was out and that everything had gone well, and we got to go up and see him in recovery.
What was that like?
Kind of funny. He was a little loopy. And the first thing he asked me was if
he's always a little
Jarvis Landry got traded. And I was like, what? You know? And
you
did say that. Yeah, you mentioned it. I was like, why would that put you
out? Complaining about it, too. I was like, for like 5 minutes, like, why did it? So,
and he seemed wide awake and very alert, but obviously it was a little loopy. And
I don't even remember it, so.
As he was up there in recovery, my husband was, we saw my husband being brought up also. So, but we couldn't, we didn't get a chance to talk to him, but.
Yeah, were there some complications right after, or did something occur?
No.
I don't know.
Right after surgery?
But did it take your body a while to adjust to the
new
kidney, or did you experience any side effects?
It's just kind of, you know, they say once they put it in, and my nephew and my brothers have said the same thing, once they could tell it was working. For my creatinine to go down from 8 to 4 in the first day was just proof that it was working and it was cleaning all the stuff out. But it probably took me a couple of days to realize that, you know, I wasn't fatigued like I was before the surgery.
So I was going to ask you, how did you feel before and after?
Before, I got very tired doing just the littlest things. I'd wake up, take a shower, have to take a nap, you know, just go for a short walk or something, take a nap. Food didn't taste like food. It's kind of starts to taste all the same and metallic-y a little bit. But later, I mean, the food tastes like
food.
Yeah, I got that taste back again.
That's amazing.
And we went to Taco Bell before the surgery, and the food didn't taste that bad. Once I got the new kidney, it was like, oh, How could you eat this?
Yeah, you're right.
It tastes terrible.
Yeah, well, I eat it and I'm like, yeah, that's good, but the rest of my body is like, you don't want that.
Yeah, no way.
So I knew it was working because I didn't feel tired, even though I was kind of probably loopy for a couple of days.
Yeah.
The food that they gave me, which was pretty much just Jell-O and broth for 3 days, tasted like Jell-O and broth. Even up to the day before the surgery, I said to him, if you want to back out,
really?
You know, if you're getting nervous about it, you know.
You would have been pissed if you backed out then.
Yeah, exactly. It was like sitting in the hospital beds as they're prepping us.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I don't want to do this. I'm good.
I said up to the day before.
I think they even said that, though. They said, like, they said to me up to the date before, which was kind of funny because, like, our teams were totally different. They couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
So they told us, my donor coordinator was like, will write a letter to your father and tell him that one of your tests, if you just want to, like, just want to back out, one of your tests didn't come back okay. We'll write a letter to your father informing him that. And I'm like, well,
they're willing to lie for you?
I would rather have heard it, like,
I would have just, you know, I mean, I just would have walked up and been like, hey, I'm not going to do it.
Is that,
like,
even legally ethical?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Well, they told us that when I was with Jeff one time there, they told us that they had a donor that had just backed out like a week before, 2 weeks before the surgery.
I thought it was even sooner.
So
than that.
I think they.
Days.
Do you think they just say that every time?
I don't know.
That's a good point.
But I think they want to make sure you're definitely committed to doing this and know that you have an out if you want one. And you don't have to take the fall for it. I think that's why they do it.
I just think they know more just by doing more. And when he had his done, when my first brother had his done, Stan, they gave him a 50-50 chance of it working and functioning. When I went in, it was more like a 95% chance.
Yeah, the hospital factor, my cousin Zach's boyfriend, Mike, who donated, he could probably talk to you a lot about that because they were theirs in Boston, we had ours in Providence. They had me stay for like 3.5 days, and they basically, from what I was told from Uncle Ray, kind of like booted him out the next day after his transplant.
I think it was the next day.
Yeah, that's what he said, the next day.
It was 2 days.
And what's the nature, you know, he was telling me about his incision's pretty small. How has that changed? I heard that you had to go kind of all the way down the side.
For my sister, they had to remove a rib. To take it out.
I popped my rib out of place. Yeah. I'm still healing. I can't imagine if you got rid of that thing.
Yeah, they had to.
So that's as a donor.
Yeah, from a donor standpoint. For him, I mean, he's got a couple of small ones, but.
Yeah, I got one right around still, my belly button. That's about that big, and then two.
Yeah, what did you say? I'll just.
Did you know when you came into the family that this was a thing? How did it affect you?
Before we were married, we actually had genetic testing, counseling, it was really more like, done to see what our chances were of passing this on to our children. And
I still have the letter.
Funny enough, I found the letter in the process of all this.
In what year?
And it was 1976.
Yeah,
1977. So you get married. Yeah. And that was like a month before we got married or something. And our chances were 50-50, which is wrong because we can't pass it at all to Jeff. 50-50 for our daughter, but zero for Jeff. So we actually brought that letter into our nephrologist, and was reading it. That's Dr. Go. And everything in that letter was basically incorrect.
Amazing.
So this is 41 years ago, you know what I mean? Things have changed, and they've obviously learned more. But yes, we knew that going in, that there was a chance. But I mean, at the time, we knew about his uncles, but we didn't really realize how bad it was going to get. You know, where two of his brothers had transplants, and now we have so many nephews that have the disease. We have 6 nephews that have it and could possibly need one who's already had it, and the other 5 that may need it. So it's pretty, it's a pretty strong disease in this family.
Especially when they tell you 50-50, like Roseanne.
Yeah.
She's got all 3 sons, and they all
have
it. You know?
Yeah.
In my, you know, it was 3 or 4, you know, in ours. So it's kind of crazy. I think the odds keep going up.
I mean, that didn't deter me from
What I was about to ask you. That didn't deter you from starting a family at all.
No,
because you don't know. You know, even with my daughter, if she has a son, supposedly it's a 50-50 chance that he could have it. So
right.
I don't think 50-50 should stop you from having kids.
You can always call a coin flip.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the time, we didn't realize, like, we knew, like, one of his uncles was on dialysis then. His other uncle died very, very young, and before they even knew that there was this kidney disease. So, and you're young. I mean, I was 22. You didn't really think about long term. Yeah. I don't know.
And you kind of think, okay, in 40 years,
that'll never happen.
Maybe they'll have a cure, or maybe.
Just grateful and thankful and thankful that he did so well afterwards, you know. And I mean, the donor usually has a really hard time. He did really well, and just that he would do this. I mean, it's not an easy thing to ask somebody to do, and it's not without, as a parent, your own thoughts of how are they going to be, you know, how are they going to come, how is Jeff going to come through, is everything going to be all right long term, is everything
plus, you know, is he, how is he going to be able to still do what he does now with just one kidney, you know, how is he going to be when he's 50 years old?
Well, we kind of think we hope and think he will be like your sister, who is 65 or whatever, and is perfectly has been fine. Yeah. You know, that's kind of our example, I guess, in our family. And because I think maybe for us, things are a little bit easier because we have other people in the family to talk to and see as
you
examples
have this network
of,
in a way.
Yeah, yeah, how they have handled things and made out with, you know, the whole process.
For example, my Uncle Joe was in the hospital every day that we were in there at the same time and sat with us, you know, talked with us. My cousin Zach would, you know, contact me and, you know, just be like, if you have any questions, me and Mike are here to answer them.
These are all people that have gone through this.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a family network where if we had any questions or concerns, we had plenty of people to bounce them off.
And the surgeries are different. Yeah. I was sick, and you don't realize how sick you are until you get a new kidney.
Until you feel
so
better.
So I'm going to get better. He's healthy, and they're taking something out of him. You know, so it's just two different.